Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus. Steve, how are you? Thanks for joining me.
Yeah, doing great. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, Steve, I want to start with, you know, this week we were talking about, you know, free agency, obviously. The Browns have plenty of pieces on the offense. They're missing a ton of pieces on defense. So let me ask you this. If you were the Browns, when you have a star in Myles Garrett, a star in Denzel Ward, would you be better off spending a lot of money on another great corner and another great pass rusher and then spending minimally on the rest? Or would you be better off kind of spending mid-range on four or five guys?
Yeah, I think mid-range when it comes to defense especially. You're trying to kind of mitigate risk defensively and – and add depth, and you know, it's really not – defense isn't really a star-driven game. You are better off having a more of like a solid 11 than, you know, a couple stars and not much else. And again, you know, you guys hear me talk about it all. Back play is just so difficult. So that's the position where I'm just bringing in a ton of bodies, even with Greedy Williams coming back and, you know, just the secondary in general – bring in a ton of bodies and see what sticks, and I think that's your best bet building defensively.
So trading. So if you were the Browns, trading for Marcus Lattimore, and I know I don't think he graded out that well last year, but trading for Marcus Lattimore and giving him a big extension, not a good plan.
It's not that it's a bad plan. I mean, I'm definitely intrigued by it. So cornerback works. There's multiple ways to get there. I mean, I think Lattimore, even with the grades, he is still really, really good. He just has a challenging role. He's got to try to cover Mike Evans twice a year, which he does well at. He has to try to cover Julio Jones twice a year. I love the idea of having two elite corners. And I think what the Patriots did when they got Stephon Gilmore a couple of years ago is, it also depends on if you do play matchups, right? Like with New England, they play matchups. So Stephon Gilmore has this trickle-down effect to the rest of their secondary. The idea of Denzel Ward and Marshawn Lattimore, you know, two Ohio State guys, but with two different body types and styles, if you are going to play matchups and that's your style, that's your plan, gives you more flexibility because Lattimore is better against some of the bigger guys and Ward has the speed and shiftiness. So there's something to it, but it is a big investment. It's a lot of money plus the extra draft capital. So you're talking about a player that needs to be worth essentially multiple players plus, you know, a whole lot of money. So there's some risk there, but the payoff could be incredible because Lattimore is, fantastic.
It's hard to say what his, you know, the value is in a trade, right? Because he's an excellent player, but he's got 1 year left on his contract and you got to sign him to an extension most likely. So what do you think is a fair, but they're in a bad cap spot, the Saints. So what's fair trade value, do you think?
You know, it's always what people are going to pay, you know, when the Texans are going to pay for Laremy Tunsil, who was due an extension and gave up multiple first rounders for him.
True.
I wouldn't expect that either. And then you see some of the QB, you know, trade options and stuff. You know, so it's somewhere, it's not going to be Deshaun Watson type of stuff, but it's knowing that teams gave up a lot of money for a Laremy Tunsil or a Khalil Mack at times when they still knew they had to pay them. Maybe it's DeForest Buckner is a better proxy for it, though. Last year at this time, do an extension, and it's just a straight first-round pick, mid-first-round pick. That the Colts gave up for DeForest Buckner of the San Francisco 49ers. You might be looking at something like that. But, yeah, there's not a whole lot of corners that you could point to and say, this guy can do it all. Lattimore is definitely one of them.
We're talking with Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus. Steve, Grant Delpit missed his entire rookie season, after, you know, being a second-round pick by the Browns. There's a lot of optimism for him in the second year. What kind of impact, assuming health, what kind of impact do you think he can make in this year for the Browns?
I think a big one. I was pretty optimistic about him, too. I love that pick in the second round. He's just got to cut down on the missed tackles. I think it was 38 missed tackles over 2 years at LSU his last two seasons. But, you know, it's funny. I was just talking to some coach who said he didn't really care about missed tackles. He's like, I want my guys to be aggressive, fly into the ball. If they miss every now and again, that's fine. But that's kind of Delpit's game. He is all over the field. He's got good range. You could play him at free safety. He could be a rangy underneath coverage defender, you know, zone type of coverage defender. So I like Grant Delpit quite a bit. You know, I'm optimistic about what he definitely could bring to that secondary when healthy as well.
Steve, you know, we talked a little about Dak Prescott in the past, but I was saying earlier this week that if I'm Dak Prescott, even though there is some risk because he had a big injury last year, and if he has another one, you know, who knows. But if I were Dak Prescott at this point, I would not sign an extension with the Cowboys unless they paid me Watson or Mahomes money, which they probably won't. And my argument is that after this year, he's either a free agent or they got to franchise him for like $50 million. So why would I sign at any kind of reasonable rate if I'm him now?
I think that's a fair point. And the third thing I think that is working in his favor is, I was trying to figure this out on our podcast yesterday, you know, what other contracts are going to be kind of the gauge for Dak? And we know that Josh Allen is probably going to get extended soon. Lamar Jackson is probably going to get extended soon. And Baker's going to get extended soon, right? I mean,
right.
There are other quarterbacks, and those guys are going to be up in that $40 million range potentially, right? So
yeah.
Right now, Dak is looking and saying, well, there's Mahomes money and Watson money, so I think your point, like, give me that money or nothing, right?
Right.
There will be other guys up in that 35 to 45 range, I think, in the coming years. So he could hold off more and more, and it just becomes just, I mean, you know, it's compound interest on Dallas here that they're accumulating because of what they could have paid, you know, a year ago or 2 years ago by just extending Dak a little bit earlier. It just the price just keeps going higher and higher.
All right, we give you two oddball hypotheticals with the Browns. It's not even really the Browns, but if you had a good NFL team and you needed a quarterback and a coach, and I gave you your choice, you could either have Baker Mayfield or Kevin Stefanski, who would you take?
I would take Baker. I think Stefanski is going to get some credit, obviously, for the turnaround and all that stuff. But, you know, I'm a Baker believer, and I think he's been a big part of that as well. And it's 1 year of evidence for Stefanski. So I'm going to lean toward Baker on that one for now.
If you had to bet, I know you guys are not big running back. You're not a big running back believer, but if you had to bet your house, more likely to go in the Hall of Fame, Nick Chubb or Myles Garrett, who you betting on?
I would say Myles Garrett. I think, unfortunately, we're going to have an impact on Hall of Fame voters as well with running backs, you know, 10, 15 years from now. At the same time, if Curtis Martin can get in, I Curtis Martin's just funny. Like, I never watched him years ago and was like, man, I'm watching a Hall of Fame running back. I'm watching a guy who gets 1,000 yards every year and, you know, is solid. So who knows? But I'll lean Myles Garrett on that one.
Yeah, the reason I lean Nick Chubb is because I feel like as a running back, you need less Hall of Fame seasons than you do as a pass rusher. But, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You just see 5 to 7 years of elite play, and it feels like a full career for a running back.
I mean, in all honesty, you mentioned the Curtis Martin, and I know some people will gasp when I say this, but how often did you watch Frank Gore and think Hall of Fame running back?
Never. I mean, this is the one we argue about all the time. He's like my age. He's almost 40, and it's impressive what he's doing. I'm very impressed with what he's doing. But, like, trotting out there for 8 more years at 3.8 yards per carry is not that – it's not Hall of Fame impressive. It's just durability impressive after all of his college injuries as well. So I don't think he's a Hall of Famer.
I mean, he's a compiler, right? We talk about that in the Baseball Hall of Fame a lot, but he's a compiler.
Carl Yastrzemski baseball. Not for Boston. Yaz is a Hall of Famer, but he tacked on like 8 extra years of compiled stats.
Right. I'll tell you another guy who I don't think is a Hall of Famer, and this is a way minority opinion. I'm curious your take on this. Eli Manning.
Yeah, you know, I think there's a lot. I think that's almost a 50-50 split. I understand both arguments. I talked myself out of Phillip Rivers recently as he retired. And I think Rivers had a better, you know, it has been better. You know, throw for throw has been better than Eli. But the playoffs matter, and moments matter, and championships do matter if you're not dragged to them, if you're a part of them. Eli was absolutely a part of both, obviously. So, I think Eli ultimately gets in. I'd probably say no to him. I'd probably say no to Phillip Rivers. But to me, there's something about just being like top five in your era. And Eli's not even close. And Rivers is still probably in the outside looking in. So I would say no to Eli, but the playoffs do matter, and that still probably ends up being the deciding factor for Eli.
We're talking with Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus. Steve, if the Browns don't, you know, get Marcus Lattimore, and they, you know, you talk about Greedy Williams coming back, whatever, but they need to add another corner. When you look at the free agency market, who makes sense for the Browns, you think?
This free agent cornerback market is really difficult. I keep describing it as one where, you know, first off, I said it's tough to predict cornerback play, but like that, this free agent market exemplifies that. All of these guys have been good at one point. So if you can get a William Jackson, he's number one on our board.
Right.
I think he's great, potentially great. You know, but he's had some good, solid seasons, but not, you know, his best work was probably as a rookie. Shaquille Griffin with the Seahawks has had one really good year, and that was in 2019. So. It really is one of those where I think if you want to add depth pieces, like the slot players are really good. A Mike Hilton's of the world, I think, could be great. And then maybe some low-risk options like a Jason Verrett. He's coming off a season where he was the number 8 graded cornerback for us, but he played 800 snaps. He hadn't played, you know, more than 4 snaps in like 4 years. So there's risk there from an injury standpoint. I would try to buy low on this cornerback market with slot type of players, with Jason Verrett. And then, you know, let Greedy potentially be that outside corner or look to the draft there. So I think the value is the slot players in the corner, in free agency, and the outside corners like Xavier Rhodes, Quentin Dunbar, Chidobe Awuzie, all those guys probably going to be overpriced for, you know, the risk that you would incur by bringing those guys in.
I want the Browns to sign Chidobe Awuzie just so most of the people in this town have to say his name time and time again.
By
the way, you mentioned William Jackson. I'm curious. If the Bengals have to franchise, and we know they're notoriously cheap, although they did spend for the first time ever in free agency last year, if they have to franchise either him or Lawson, who will they and who should they?
Yeah, I would go William Jackson, and I love Carl Lawson. So we have Jackson as our top corner, and we have Lawson as our number 2 edge in free agency, and he's got the best pass rushing grade of any of these free agents over the last couple of years. But you know, I mean, cornerback position. It's just the trickle down effect is so important. Trying to replace a William Jackson, even though he's been a little inconsistent the last couple of years. So, I would go with Jackson just because the potential is just incredible. He's still just 28 years old.
If Carl, I know, you know, one's a young player, one's not. But if the Browns could only, and Carl Lawson's probably a much more longer term deal. But if the Browns could only sign Carl Lawson or J.J. Watt, what would you do? For the Browns,
short term, I'd still probably take JJ. I'd be trying to play like fantasy GM here too. I want to see JJ next to Myles Garrett. And,
sure,
you know, I want JJ go to the Rams next to Aaron Donald just to see it. But I think Watt would be a really good interior pass rusher too. I think that's where he should be. I think that's where you cut down on his snaps next year. He doesn't have to play over 1,000 like he did last year. Cut down on his snaps. Let him rush from the interior, and I think the Browns would have some incredible weapons. With him and Garrett, Lawson's great. He just doesn't have the same type of like multi-gap versatility that J.J. Watt or some of the other edge defenders have in this market.
We're talking with Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus. Steve, is Anthony Harris the best safety in the market?
No, he's up there. He's our number 2 guy. It's close at the top. I love the safety class because there's guys all over the place. You know, Justin Simmons is our number 1 guy, just ahead of Anthony Harris, and they all bring a little something different to the table. Harris is more of a pure free safety. Marcus Williams from the Saints, more of a pure free safety. Justin Simmons can do it all. Marcus May can do it all. John Johnson, more of a free safety. And then you have some, you know, some lower, you know, lower end guys or, you know, guys that you might be able to get on the cheap. The safety market's really, really good. But Harris is up there as one of just the best pure rangy free safeties. He's been great in that Mike Zimmer system and definitely one of the best.
So from a Browns perspective, right, you know, they probably don't bring back Sendejo or Carl Joseph. You got Ronnie Harrison, who they got from Jacksonville last year. You got Delpit, who we talked about earlier. That's about it. Sheldrick Redwine, who was a, you know, the draft pick in 2019. I assume Grant Delpit you like the most of what the Browns have. So who's the best fit with him of the safety group?
Yeah, I mean, I like Delpit as more of a free safety. I think he could play everywhere, and I like Harrison closer to the box, which makes me think maybe the Browns should be investing in slot corner or in a hybrid like an Elijah Molden in the draft from Washington, who I absolutely love. But if you're talking about a safety that could come in and fit with those guys, if Harrison's going to be playing in the box, I think Harris would fit well. I think Marcus Williams, so Anthony Harris from the Vikings, or Marcus Williams from the Saints, another rangy free safety, and that would allow Delpit to have some flexibility. Maybe Harrison plays a little bit closer to the line of scrimmage and eases some of the burden of trying to find, you know, decent linebackers. So I think the free safety types would work well for the Browns, and that is Anthony Harris, Marcus Williams, and then the other guy that I would also take a shot on potentially is Malik Hooker from the Indianapolis Colts, former first rounder. I think it's just really good range on the back end, single high safety type of guy could be great. And he's just battled injuries over the last year. Only played 70 snaps.
Steve, I'm curious your thoughts on Donovan Peoples-Jones. Obviously, he played special teams, and he became a bigger factor on the offense as the season went along. I thought he showed a lot of potential, especially as a sixth-round pick. What do you think of him?
Yeah, I was impressed. You know, I think a lot of people coming out looked at him and said, the quarterback situation wasn't great at Michigan, and then he tests well, and you know, I think when you're taking chances on players later in the draft, you're either leaning on production or you're leaning on athleticism and that, you know, quote unquote upside. And of course, Peoples-Jones is the upside call, right? Good size, good speed. And I think I love speed. I love deep threats. I think those are game changers for the offense. So Peoples-Jones as a number three potential option, number four potential option, because I just want to get as many receivers as possible. I love it. And, you know, 20 yards per catch, more than 20 yards per catch. I think he showed that big playability, and I think he'll be a really nice complimentary piece over the next couple of years.
And apparently I've had a brain freeze because I think I was calling Marshawn Lattimore Marcus, wasn't I? Did I do that?
I don't know offhand, but, man, Marcus used to be really good.
I don't know why I don't know why I called him Marcus today. I've been talking about him all week, and I just called him.
I know
Marcus,
who you meant. I know who you meant.
You knew who I meant. Anyway, Steve, great stuff as always, man. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, you got it. Sounds good. Appreciate
it. All right.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.